heat of the summer in most of the United States, surrounded by constant reports of bizarre weather. I don't have to go into details. Most of you have seen examples of it on the internet and in the mainstream media as well. It's a hot one. It's going to be a hot one again tonight on the program. Benjamin Fulford, 46.
Hello.
Hi, Ben. Hang on. Let me do the brief intro here, then we'll get right to you. For our listeners who don't know, Mr. Fulford is a Tokyo-based journalist who appeared on this program July the 5th, 2007, making some very radical and some would say hopeful claims. According to Benjamin Fulford, a Chinese secret society with 6 million members, including 1.8 million Asian gangsters and 100,000 professional assassins, have targeted Illuminati members if they proceed with world depopulation plans, a subject we've talked about for many years on this program, off and on. That is the depopulation effort, Global 2000, among others. They contacted Ben Fulford, a Canadian expatriate, after he warned that the Illuminati plan to reduce the Asian population to about half a billion people, about 500 million, by means of racial or genetic-specific biological weapons was an issue to them. Remember SARS? Well, in his first conversation, SARS was pointed out by Ben Fulford as being quite likely an Asia-specific or ethno-specific weapon, a biological weapon, which I noticed actually when it happened and broke out in the Orient and made its way here to Canada, when in a Canadian newspaper they published all the photographs of the fatal SARS victims in Canada, about 95% of which were Asian. And I immediately said there's something suspicious about that and drew some conclusions, which may well be true. With Ben Fulford as their spokesman now, the word is out. The Asia Secret Society, Chinese, is taking on the Illuminati. At least that's the story. Tonight, in part two of our exclusive conversation with Benjamin Fulford, we're going to cover many new issues and expand on some earlier ones as well. I'll also open the phones a bit later on for your questions. As you might well imagine, Mr. Fulford's first visit here rattled and rumbled its way around the world on the Internet and continues to do so tonight. It's also an appearance you can hear for free at Rents.com right now. You can also read all of the stories relating to that first visit on July the 5th and several essays written by Mr. Fulford himself. As you also may recall, he was the Asia-Pacific Bureau Chief for 8 years for Forbes magazine and remains a professional journalist, as I said, based in Tokyo, Japan, where we go now to say hello and welcome back to Benjamin Fulford. Thanks for being here, Ben.
Yeah, it's a great pleasure. What an honor.
Pleasure is mine, sir, and we covered so many things last time. There are a lot of things to go over tonight. We're going to try and bring many of those into further focus, delineate on some, elaborate on others. One of the things that intrigued me, and when you mentioned it, I was certainly one of maybe millions who began to look up on Google or other search engines information about your great-grandfather, G.T. Fulford. That was fascinating to hear about his interest and support and apparent friendship with Nikola Tesla. He was apparently murdered. He died in an automobile accident, and I think it was 1905. Is that the year of his death?
Yes, it was.
There sure as hell weren't a lot of cars around in 1905, and one wonders.
I believe it was the first fatal car accident in Canadian history, although it took place in Massachusetts.
Bizarre. Bizarre. And cars back then didn't do much more than 25 miles an hour, I wouldn't think. And
there was an erratic driver who was, you know, given 1 week's notice, and he somehow managed to crash it through my great-grandfather into a horse-drawn bus, while he himself stayed perfectly safe.
He struck your grandfather with the car?
Well, no, he managed to get the car to hit a horse-drawn bus in such a way that, you know, only my great-grandfather died.
A horse-drawn bus.
Yes.
Now, that's something that I've seen in photographs, old photographs, of course. This is even more bizarre. Now, at the time, your grandfather was a very wealthy man. He was not very old either. Was he 50 years old? 45
to
50?
And he was, like I said, he was the largest shareholder in General Electric, and he was about to buy a company that we know of today as General Motors.
Huh, and he had made his fortune, as I recall reading, in patenting of early medicines, so-called modern medicines.
Yeah, this big hit was something called Fulford's Pills for Pale People, which is basically iron tablets, but in those days everyone had anemia because of the new food processing technology.
Huh. Now with all the iron added to food, some people have overdoses of iron, so...
Right. In those days, they all had anemia. Another sort of spooky thing about him, and this is something that makes you wonder, but the longest-serving prime minister in Canadian history was a guy called Mackenzie King. And he was prime minister for more than 20 years and is considered to be a very good prime minister. And when he died...
Mm-hmm.
They found his diaries. And his diaries, they found out he made his... political decisions by consulting a crystal ball and consulting spirits.
I shouldn't laugh because the Reagans did much the same, of course. Nancy Reagan, it is said,
right,
had an awful lot of input from her psychic in San Francisco.
Yeah, but the other thing is that his psychic was my great-grandmother.
Oh, really?
And the person he was consulting was my great-grandfather, among others.
And the crystal ball was just a little
trinket? They're supposed to hypnotize yourself so you can get in touch with the spirit world, you know, something like that.
So run that by me again. Your great-grandmother was the psychic that he consulted, and your great-grandfather was, well...
The spirit that he was getting advice from.
Now, when you say spirit, are you talking about spirit after your grandfather was killed?
Yes, I mean, I'm talking about the 1930s and 40s.
How strange. This went on for a long time, apparently, and this was in his private diary.
So it's one of those more bizarre... you know, he'd also wait until midnight on Friday the 13th to make important decisions.
Well, that's good. Why not? Well, we have a lot of precedents, and it is also a fact that many, if not most... Now, a lot of you may wince at this. Major corporations and businesses actually do consult with psychics, and some actually have some on the payroll, and they won't make a major decision without clearing it with the psychic. And, you know, astrology is used, of course. It's not crystal ball necessarily, technology. But that's fascinating. I didn't know. Tell me a little bit more if there is any.
Well, I mean, the other thing was that they're supposed to look at the first dream of the night, and that's supposed to be predictive. But a lot of this was taught to me by my grandmother, and... I think that all the rich people use fortune tellers because it's sort of like, forget about anything psychic, but it's like people want to know what's going to happen in the future. They have it for oil markets, for example, oil futures or something.
Uh-huh.
And just a way of predicting or looking forward into the future. And they discourage that in us, right? But, you know, if it rains up in the mountains, then you can predict the river will flow higher later. There's a lot of stuff you can predict about the future that's based on, you know, on hard science. But they try to discourage us from looking into the future. But big corporations and rich people all do that.
Right.
There's $5,000 an hour psychics out there.
Sure. Now, I know I've heard it. We've talked about that for many years. It is true that as a culture, young people are immediately jumped upon and thwarted when they start to report so-called psychic experiences, whether they see colors around people, whether they talk to spirits, whether they have spirit or invisible friends. In fact, in Britain, by the way, there was a major paper, just as a quick aside here, last week I posted it, maybe you saw it, that young children are now apparently being, or the advice to the parents is that the young children be encouraged when they talk about having invisible playmates and invisible friends.
Yeah, yeah.
So, very interesting indeed.
In any case, I want to talk a bit more about the Rockefellers.
Sure, I'm sure they're listening, so go right ahead.
Yeah, okay, well, look, this is a vital issue. For years, you know, the Japanese were telling me that, you know, the West was ruled like a monarchy by the Rockefellers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, these people are, you know, these are superstitious Orientals. And they're thinking, oh, these Westerners are so blackmailed, they don't even, brainwashed, they don't even know they're brainwashed, right? So I finally started doing the research, and I found out that, you know, for example, just to prepare for this show, I went and met a senior boss of the Yamaguchi-gumi crime syndicate, okay? This is they control most of the gangsters in Japan. And they told me that the way the U.S. government works is a little bit like the diamond monopoly, the De Beers diamond cartel.
Okay, let me ask you to hold it right there. We'll pause, do our business, and come back and pick this up. Was that Yamaguchi Crime Syndicate?
Yamaguchi Gumi Crime Syndicate.
Okay, very good. Stand by, Ben. We'll pause. Come back. Part two of our conversation exclusive here for you with journalist Benjamin Fulford live from Japan. We'll be right back. Back with you and Ben Fulford. All right, Ben, you went to see the head of a major crime family.
Yeah, 50,000 member gang.
Oh, okay, all right. Just by way of journalism, don't give away details you don't need to. How did you get word to this person, and is it something that they said, sure, Ben, come on down, let's talk, and then I have a follow-up question to that, please.
Okay, well, look, I mean, I've known these people for years and years now, and I've been quite friendly with them. I don't do any business with them, but, you know, we trade information. You see, I started out as a financial journalist, so when I realized all the bank money was disappearing into gangster front companies, I started cultivating these sources, and I got a very high-level one, and I've known them for years.
Very good. All right. Now, what is... in short, what is their response to your first visit on the program? And from the secret society, I'm going to expand upon the question just a drop, then we'll go back to the specifics of what you asked them. What was the response of those people whose interests you are representing to your first visit on the program and your appearance on Rents.com and so forth?
Okay, they generally were happy with it, but, you know, they told me that it was very... uncouth of me to have been so, you know, threatening and blustery that you know, stuff like that is usually left unsaid and implicit, and you're supposed to be more polite, you know.
Well, that would seem to be the Asian M.O. I can understand that, although the point was made, and I think that was the larger issue at hand to make the point, and I think you did it very clearly and succinctly. So, all right, back to the issue of your talk with the head of this large Asian syndicate.
Okay, well, these people told me, yeah, we subcontract for the Rockefellers. And the way the world economy runs is these people control the money and they control the oil. And just like when you have the Beers Diamond Monopoly, they have what they call the site. A bunch of men get together in a room, they have a pile of diamonds, they divide them into, you know, it's the pile for each. And then these people decide who gets what downstream. Well, they do the same with oil and with cash. And they you know, it's a small group of men get together, and they come up with themes. And, you know, they came up with this war on terror theme, and the idea was to, you know, find an excuse to seize the Central Asian oil resources. And at the same time, they wanted to, you know, find an excuse to sell lots more weapons. And they want to extend their geopolitical goals of, you know, subduing China in the longer term. And so this is how the world economy works. It's a bunch of men in a secret room who control the dollars and the oil, who then decide everything.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that is the proper way for a planet to be managed.
No.
These people are gangsters. And so instead of having the meanest bully run the planet, I would think it'd be a committee of the wisest sages would be better.
It does seem to be a rat race amongst the meanest killer... rapist, environmentally destructive, damaging, annihilating bullies of them all. And you're right. Meanest SOB, most psychopathic SOB on the planet. I agree.
Yeah, because what happened to me was I suddenly realized that the Japanese have enough money to end poverty, stop all environmental destruction, you know, in a matter of 2 or 3 years, they could wipe poverty, disease, environmental destruction from this planet, and ignorance. It would be so easy. So I started asking, why don't you do this? And finally, they told me the truth. Well, the Rockefellers won't let us do it. They want that money for themselves so they can make weapons and, you know, play with the world as if they're...
They don't give a good goddamn about the individual at all. That's the bottom line.
No, they think of them as serfs or you know, and they think there's too many of them. They want to have a big purge. I mean, these people think of themselves as shepherds. And I talked to another scholar, you know, because people are, I believe, upset when I said that Abraham was Hammurabi or something. But what we really have to do is go back to Nimrod to really understand this whole situation. There were a lot of people living in Babylonia, farming people. And 5,771 years ago, they were invaded by Hyksos, who were a tribe of pastoralists. And they came and said, you know, there's got to be a way to herd humans the way we herd sheep, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're the people who have ever since been herding people.
Herding and culling people.
And culling. Yes, they think of themselves, you know, they're entitled to their, you know, cull, and they can take some young woman and play with them and then kill them or whatever. That's their
they think they're demigods is what they think they are.
Yeah, I know a lady, a princess, who met them, and you know, they said, yeah, we're gods. David Rockefeller is Zeus, you know, and whatever. They think of themselves as gods.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. And they've inbred themselves into stupidity, and they're in very, very severe danger right now. I'm trying to save their lives, and they don't realize it. You know, if I were them, I would be terrified. You've got 80% of the American public against them, and when the people in the West cotton on to their existence, they're going to be furious. That's why they have to keep themselves secret. They have to, you know, they spend all this energy fighting, trying to prevent people from being aware that they exist. Because if they were, so here they are. Everybody on the planet hates them now. They've got no support. I mean, Russia's against them, China's against them, Japan's turned against them.
Well, Russia remembers almost down to the genetic level what those people did to their country over the last century.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Bolsheviks, the slaughter, the horrible, horrible decimation and liquidation of probably well over 50 million people, many of whom were Christians. Not that that really matters, but that's the issue. And they certainly all were innocent, and they all were of European extraction.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, maybe the Anglo-Saxons and the Jews both think they rule the world, but when they get to the very high level, they're told, neither of you rule anything. You're our slaves. We rule the world.
We'll come back in a minute, Ben.
Yeah.
Hold on, and we'll further define who the enemy is. And it's not Jews. It's not Christians. It's something else. And you made a very good point in a private correspondence to me, how to throw away the obvious potential criticism of your message being somewhat anti-Semitic in nature, which of course it isn't. We'll clear that up and do some other things as we continue conversation part two, exclusively here on the Jeff Rentz program in just a few minutes. With Benjamin Fulford live from Tokyo continues. All right, Ben, let's further define the enemy as we can. I know it was interesting, and one of the ways it was phrased to me was, if you take all of the so-called anti-Jewish, anti-Zionist, anti-Semitic material and reduce it down to everything but anti-Jewish material, you'll have a pretty good sketch of who the enemy is. This is not an issue of Jewish people or Judaism. It's an issue that goes much beyond that, which, of course, as we know, has used Judaism and continues to use dumb Christian Zionists as well today. It's quite a clever and sophisticated group of people. They've been around for a long time. So tell us more.
Yeah, I mean, they have been, they are the sort of elite of the ancient Babylonian kings, and their job is always to control the masses. So in a sense, a lot of the Jews never really escaped from Babylonia to this day. They just don't know it. I think what happens is they get used like a matador's cape. Anytime they do something that pisses people off and they get angry, then they sort of flash them the Jews as a red cape and say, these
they
are the people,
sure do.
The people did it. And it's not.
Well, they hung them out to dry and sacrificed them in World War II. We know that now through the work of Jewish scholars, Lenny Brenner, Henry Mackow, Ph.D., and a number of others who have found the truth out. And if you want to really read the truth, direct from a man who was in the middle of it, read 10 Questions to the Zionists by Rabbi Michael Dov Wiesmandel. That's on Rents.com at the left side. Read it from a Jewish man himself, a rabbi who was there. So check it out. All right.
Yeah, and I want to take an aside here. The Simon Wiesenthal Center tried to get one of my books banned here in Tokyo, and Rabbi Cooper from the Wiesenthal Center came over to the Foreign Correspondents Club, and I asked him, why do you want my book banned, right? And he said, it's because I mentioned that President Bush killed 650,000 people in Iraq, which is, based on a British medical magazine. So here we have a so-called tolerant people trying to ban a book because it denounces genocide.
Well, the hypocrisy is really beyond measure when it comes to these people. They've been at it for a long, long time, and they manipulate, in fact, manipulate the media. They own most of the media, so it makes their job very easy. When you mix into that soup, control the mass entertainment media as well, motion pictures most specifically, you can understand how generation after generation are being literally mind-controlled and mind-engineered to the extent that if you say anything, in many cases, against Israel or Jewish Zionist policy vis-a-vis Israel, you're immediately jumped upon, not only by Jews, but by non-Jews as well, as being some sort of a bigot. It's quite a feat they've come up with.
Yeah, but really, we're only talking about, in the U.S., about 6 or 7 families. I mean, they changed their names, they're interbred, but they're the descendants of the bankers who took over the Fed in 1913. I have to go back to those eras to find the data, but in 1918, the 10 richest men owned 70% of the economy. So we're talking very few people who are like kings and who control most of your money, and you don't see them. They hide behind this elaborate camouflage you think of as your economy.
Sure, and they met at Jekyll Island and hatched the Fed, and they hatched they've been at it for a long time, as I've said, and we all who study history understand at least the basics of it.
Yeah, so but if the American people sort of took that back, I would say there'd be immediate windfall of about $100,000 for every man, woman, and child in the country.
Oh, at least. Excuse me, but let me say one other thing about the so-called Iraq War, which has been nothing less than a genocidal annihilation of a people, a culture, which goes back thousands of years, and a country. This is one of the biggest outrages, the biggest perversions of human values that I've ever seen. But if we were to take the money that Bush and Cheney and those incredibly evil people have spent on the Iraq-Afghanistan wars, and again, I use the words wars advisedly, we would have enough money to pay for universal health care for all Americans for about 15 years right now. And if you don't believe me, just go see the movie Sicko and then do the math.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the other thing, these people, they've been draining money out of the Americans for years now, and the Japanese, for some secret project. I mean, what they do, for example, they have a monopoly on oil. So they got together and they said, all right, we'll take turns. One person said, oh, geez, our refinery's kind of rusty. We'll have to shut it down. And then next guy's turn. Oh, geez, we got a hole in our pipeline. We have to shut down. And they crank up the prices artificially. And what they're doing is they're draining money out of all the Americans' pockets.
Sure.
To finance some secret project.
Well, it's a parasite, and they're bleeding the American public and the Japanese public. I remember it very well. the Alaska pipeline, the convenient Alaska pipeline leak, which popped up and prices went up. And you're right. And the story now is that the refineries are old, they're antiquated, they're at maximum capacity, they haven't been upgraded in years and are not able to handle the demand. Well, it's a bunch of crap, all of it. And you're right. You're 100% correct.
But in any case, you know, these people are in severe trouble. Now, most Americans remain brainwashed, but they know something is wrong. They're 80% against the Congress and the president.
Congress has an approval rating, by the way, Ben, of 14% here. That's
yeah.
It.
So, in other words, even though they don't know exactly what is wrong, they know something is very wrong. So now these people are very, very isolated. They've lost Russia. They don't control, you know, the whole world is against them. Their own people are against them. They are in extraordinarily deep trouble. And I'm offering to sort of save their asses if they will, you know, retire gracefully. And otherwise, they're going to be doomed. I've already saved Rockefeller's life twice now. When the Chinese approached me first, they were talking about, you know, starting off by killing 200 of those people and then starting negotiations. And I said, no, I'm not a gangster. I'm against killing. No, don't do that. Let's talk to these people first. And so I talked on your show, and a senior member of the Japanese security police told me that because of what you leaked on the internet, they're going to attack Niigata with their earthquake machine. I said, oh, come on, I don't believe that. And then boom, boom, 2 days in succession, identical earthquakes. Right on the nuclear power plant.
When were you told this, Ben?
Before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
After I appeared on your show. And mm-hmm. I put stuff out on the internet about the Illuminati.
Well, I think your journalist experience tells you that the technology certainly exists to do something like that. Earthquake faults are targets. They can be made to slip.
And I got an email saying you got your answer back. And so the Chinese are saying, okay, well, let's move now. Let's do it. You know, they made their move. And I said, no, because they don't understand how powerful these people are, what they can do. They're underestimating the danger they're in. I'm the only thing standing between them and total death. Oblivion for their whole clan. And I'm not talking about the Jews here. I'm talking about this secret group of Satanists. They can all be wiped out in a matter of days. And I'm saying, no, please. I cried about the deaths in Niigata. I said, oh, geez, you know, I mean, these people died because I'm trying to save these rather nasty people's lives. I mean, but... So, I'm going to give them one more chance. I'm going to invite David Rockefeller to meet me at Fulford Place in Brockville, Ontario, Canada.
All right, stand by right there, Ben. We'll come back in just a minute. Take a listen to this program. It is already fascinating. We'll have it up for you to listen to free again. Hopefully we'll get another transcript up for you to study and pay close attention. Now, Ben Fulford has just dropped another foot and said that he is calling for a meeting. Let's back up a little bit and revisit that and lay it out on the table clearly.
Okay, here's what's happening. I'm the only thing standing between them and the most horrible, something worse than they can imagine. I am their link to survival. And they need to understand that very clearly. I'm their best friend. I'm offering a meeting with David Rockefeller, and I'll be expecting a friendly answer within 48 hours. Otherwise, I'll have to move on to Plan B. And let me tell you, beyond Plan B, there's plans all the way up to Z and beyond.
Let's talk about Plan A. Now, where would you like this meeting to occur? You want to hear from them in 48 hours. We don't have to give a contact phone number. They know exactly where you are. So where do you want the meeting to occur?
Well, at the old Fulford Mansion in Brockville, Ontario. It's now a Canadian government museum, but I thought it would be appropriate, you know.
GT's former home?
Yeah, it's a major tourist attraction now. Anyone up in that part of the world, Brockville, Ontario, I recommend it as a very interesting place to visit to see how the robber barons lived at the turn of the century.
Pretty appropriate idea. All right. Okay, now, for the record, and from a journalist position over here, I must say that after your first visit, many people, I would suggest a huge number of people around the world were rather elated by the potential of something on the planet that could stand up to these evil Satanists, Zionists, whatever you want to call them, and stop them. Some would also suggest that the removal of one or two of them, or 10 of them, or 100 of them, these beings, the most evil people on the planet, who would be a very small price to pay for peace and an end to the genocides of us regular type folks going back 200 years, and in the case of Iraq, now totaling probably over 2 million people since Bush 41 was in office and first invaded Iraq in the early 90s. Now, what are the lives of human beings worth? Is a mother in Baghdad's life worth the same as one of the top evil Satanist kingpins on the planet? I would suggest yes. I have always been an equal opportunity mourner, so to speak. They, of course, don't view it that way. So just so you'll know, the response here was from many people, hell yes, I hope the Asians do something to stop what's going on. We can't get our Congress to do it. Our administration is no longer our administration. It is out of control, and we need some help. That was the response I generally received.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that the whole world is going to come to help. I mean, everybody's reached the point of no return, and, you know, these people are desperate. They're planning something horrendous in August, and that's not going to be allowed to take place. You know, we all know when Congress recesses, these people are in danger, they're cornered. And I'm you know, the reason why I was against this killing a few of these people first is because you can start a tit-for-tat, and they control enormous destructive potential. That little earthquake machine was an example. So, you know, I'm hoping to get them to, you know, gracefully back down, and we can start running this planet in a more sane manner.
Well, we all do. We agree on that 100%, Ben. And for those of you who didn't notice, I hope you did. I had a lot of stories about the Japanese earthquakes, and there were several of them. Took the world's largest nuclear power plant out of commission. It was the leaking and damage was far worse than we were told. Big surprise, eh? Took it offline for at least a year. That's what the experts are saying. It'll take a year at least to get that back and functioning, and that was a huge thing.
Yeah, and an amazing thing is that they predicted this in advance. Just, you know, which would surprise me, because until then I was a bit skeptical. But, you know, when the Chinese heard about this, they said, okay, it's time to make our move. And I said, wait, I'm going to give them one last chance.
So the Chinese did not like this earthquake idea one bit, because they know that they're equally as vulnerable to a natural catastrophe of one kind or another.
Well, yeah, and they also, you mean, a lot of the members of the society are Japanese. It's not just a Chinese society.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, you made that clear. When I say a natural, I use that word, of course, in quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, the thing is that these are, a lot of the people who are in these groups, this elite group, don't want to be there. They were born there, or they were inducted, and they have a choice to either be there or die.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, you know, they're trapped too. They're as much, in their own way, you know, victims of the system, although they've been doing incredible evil for centuries now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being close to some secret plan. I mean, think about, like, for example, that $3 trillion that disappeared, and all this cranking up of oil prices and forcing both parents to work, and here in Japan, forcing people into low-paid jobs. They're extracting money for some humongous secret project. And I think they weren't planning to do it this soon, but they feel cornered, and I just worried that they're going to do something totally horrendous.
Right.
And that
has to
be prevented.
The money which disappeared from the Pentagon loan is said, and we're going to try and clear this phone line up at the top of the hour. It's fine now. We get a little static once in a while. At least we were able to speak to Ben tonight. The Fulford revelations are right on the money. He just mentioned $3.5 trillion. Well, a lot of it perhaps went over some of you listeners' heads because you don't know. When a certain gentleman was in charge of the finances of the Pentagon, $3.5 trillion vanished. Okay? And a certain gentleman happened to have dual citizenship in the United States and Israel. Okay? I think you know the story by now. So $3.5 trillion there, $1 trillion here, $500 million there, $1 billion there. It continues to go. And are you still there, Ben?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, that was a big explosion of static.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, anyway, the amount of money they have to do whatever it is they're going to do is literally limitless.
Yeah, and now, I'm a believer in Occam's razor. So you always choose a simple explanation for something if there are more than one explanation. So when I see all these UFO videos and stuff, right, I have to think, all right, first of all, is there an earthly explanation? Because if there were aliens, you'd expect them to make themselves public and they wouldn't, you know. So, and the Rockefellers are spreading all this alien talk. They have these secret bases everywhere. They're in a huge building binge. They've been preparing some sort of nasty death fleet and other instruments of mass killing. And they, you know, they're being forced into a corner. And I want to make them gently put down those dangerous toys and just back off a bit and in exchange for, you know, an amnesty and protection. Because right now they think they're in a powerful position. They have all of this hard power, but what they don't realize is they have no soft power. They don't have public support anywhere in the world. The entire planet is turned against them. So they've got 700,000 people staring at each one of them, and now that the gig is up and people know what's going on, they're in a hopeless situation. So I'm their best choice, you know, and they better realize that, because as far as I'm concerned, Plan B doesn't make much difference. But as far as they're concerned, they'd be much rather off with Plan A, which is to talk with me.
So they have
been given a phone number in Taiwan, mm-hmm. and they've been given information to know that there really is a 6-million-man secret army, there really are 100,000 professional assassins, and there really are 1.8 million gangsters who are going to, you know, and they've been studying, by the way, they've been studying the mm-hmm. Freemasons for 150 years. They've been preparing for this for 150 years.
You mean the Chinese and Asians have been?
Yes. They set up their own anti-Freemason network 150 years ago.
Huh.
And they've been ready for this. And the Freemasons didn't even know these people existed.
Well, you have a paper on my site, The History of Freemasons in Japan. Very interesting.
Yeah, I've a bit of an update on that one, too. Apparently, I met a senior scholar who considered the biggest expert in this field. There was a period between 1936 and 1945 when the Japanese were not under control of the Freemasons. And during that time, a lot of research was published on them. And apparently what happened was the British came and they totally demolished two clans in the southern Japan after Admiral Perry came to Japan. And they forced them to work for the Rothschilds. And they killed the emperor and they installed a 16-year-old boy in his place, and that was the Meiji Emperor.
Hmm.
And so Japan was a secret colony of the Freemasons,
mm-hmm.
and it still is, although now the Japanese Freemasons are ready to change the status quo. And it's the best timing because Russia's against them, China's against them, India's against uh-huh. them, the Muslim world's against them, South America's against them, everybody's against them. They're basically doomed. This is what they have to realize.
The Rothschilds did control Japan and lost it. The Rockefellers, of course, at the end of World War II, emerged victorious and claimed Japan as their own primal territory. By the way, for those of you, we're going to a break here in just a moment, who don't know about the $3.5 trillion stolen from the Pentagon under the auspices of Zakheim, look up on Google, Rabbi Dov, D-O-V, Zakheim, or just Rabbi Zakheim and type in Pentagon trillions with it, and you'll come up with over 10,400 hits, and you can read about it right there. So, yeah, he's a happy guy somewhere, whatever he's doing. By the way, his company was involved with remote control operating systems, computer systems for jetliners, in case any of you might be able to connect the dots on that one as well, or the suggestive dots at least. So, yes, Dov Zakheim was a man on the spot and probably has received the highest awards that Israel can bestow upon its dual citizens for the shenanigans that went on there. $3.5 trillion, unaccounted for. Whoops, where did it go? And investigations into that, of course, were underway when September 11th occurred. And it is said that in the Pentagon, a team of accountants working on that very thing just happened to be in the way of whatever it was that hit the Pentagon that morning and killed them all. So put that in your computer and run it as well. Okay, back in a few minutes with Ben Fulford. We're going to take some calls. in a little bit. I'll give the number out now, but if you do call, I'd expect to be on hold for a while, but you know, at least you'll get on the phone boards here. It's 800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. All right? A little later in this next hour, we'll begin to take calls. My guest is Benjamin Fulford. I'm Jeff Rentz. Glad you're along. Don't forget to visit our website at Rentz.com. That's R-E-N-S-E.com. Bookmark it. Check it out. I guarantee you, you'll find no finer diversity of news from around the world anywhere on the Internet. We'll be back. Okay, welcome back. Hour number two coming up, our part two, exclusive conversation with journalist Benjamin Fulford, live from Japan. It's quite a story. All right, Ben, where do you want to go next with us? You've invited David Rockefeller to meet with you at the Fulford Mansion, Fulford Estate in Canada. You're giving them 48 hours to get back to you. They know how to get in touch with you, no problem.
Yeah.
Who will be attending the meeting beside yourself on your side of the ledger? Anybody?
Well, that's open, you know. I mean, we might bring one representative of the Chinese Secret Society. Basically, I am a member, and I'm a senior member, and I can speak for them in the West. You know, I'm not just a spokesman. I'm actually a participant and a leader. So, you know, I can speak authoritatively.
I had an email then, and they would ask, why would you intercede to stop the elimination of something so evil on the planet as one of these satanic secret society people who have been engineering the murders of tens, if not hundreds of millions of people over the centuries? Why would you stop?
Well,
what's the issue? Is it a moral issue? What is it?
Well, partly it's a moral issue, but more to the point is that if you start by hitting them and then they hit back, who knows what damage they could do? You know what I mean? It's always like gang wars involve serious death, right? So it's better if we can get a peaceful solution first. You know, that's always the policy. You know, fighting is a last resort. And it's not about just, you know, a few evil people, because just killing them isn't going to do it. You know, there's going to be some sort of horrendous retaliation.
Well, there's a whole mechanism in place, and if I might suggest something, which I've said for many years, and I certainly don't have the connections you do in the Asian theater, I don't believe these people will give up their control under almost any circumstance. I believe they will take the whole planet down with them rather than yield the floor to something else.
Okay, now here's the point I'm making. You see, I've given them enough hints. So they've got these poor mind slaves locked away in the basement of the NSA, okay? And they've got their supercomputers. And if they have... they're even half as smart as I think they are, they will have located a singularity on the event horizon. They will have located something that could be called God in their supercomputers. What's happening is we are approaching a situation that is so radical that all our human conflicts are going to be meaningless. And, you know, let me explain this a bit more. I have a girlfriend who married an ex-girlfriend who married an American billionaire. And they're going to have children soon. And she's telling me they're able to select already eye color, hair color, genes for intelligence. They're already engineering super kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of time before, and only not very much time, maybe 20 years at the most, before they'll be able to make people immortal. And then there's going to be people who are going to want to start doing things like adding whale brain genes and eagle eyes and bat ears and things.
Well,
and
they're probably already doing that in their black ops labs around the world and have been, I'd suggest, for a long time, playing gene games like that.
Yeah, and so you're going to end up with a whole new sort of range of super beings. And then they're going to have all this incredible power at their disposal. And this cannot be left in the hands of, you know, if these people continue with their plans, they're going to blow the future of the human race and this planet. And so I'm saying that...
Excuse me, Ben. What you're saying is they will create a race of super beings who will be elite and who will totally dominate the planet. And they probably will go about then genetically reducing the common denominator of many of the masses to an even dumber and more dumbed down level. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, I'm suggesting that's their plan. But in fact, if the opposite could be true, is that everybody could be made immortal and super, in which case we would be, as a species, you know, exploding into something totally new. I think of the planet Earth a bit like a frog's egg, okay? Imagine a frog's egg in a pond, and the tadpole is starting to develop, and the eye is getting conscious. He sees outside the egg. He thinks, and he sees other eggs, and wonders if there's tadpoles in those eggs, too. But there's some worry, you know, they're running out of yolk. So some people say maybe just to deal with the yolk shortage, we should eat the tail, you know. And that's what these people are doing to this planet. That's how they're thinking. But in fact, the thing's about to be a tadpole swimming out there. And it's better to prepare to know what you're doing, because otherwise you're going to get eaten by the first pike that comes along. In other words, as a species, we're reaching some sort of breakthrough point of enormous proportions. Like I said before, like the Cambrian explosion, and not based on something, you know, like I smoked on a beach or something. It's based on hard science, that immortality, infinite energy, and then the instant communications between large amounts of human brains is going to create something we've never seen before. And so for these people to take this potential Cambrian explosion and ruin it by slaughtering humanity and enslaving people is just not going to work. And there's a tsunami coming, and they cannot stop it. So I'm like a monkey. I show up in a mountain, and there's a boss monkey saying, "Hey, what are you doing here? We'll kill you if you keep talking to us." I said, "Look, I've got all these buddies behind me. If it came to a fight, I'd probably whoop your ass, but it's not about fighting. Look at the event horizon. Things are getting much bigger than you expected. If they don't believe in God, well, there's proof in their supercomputers now of a real God on this planet based on our science. With no need to invoke anything supernatural. It's right there. According to our laws of nature, as understood by our science. They can see it coming. And if they can't, then they're a lot dumber than I thought, and I worry for them.
How do you think they define God, if you're correct and they have determined that there is a God or a universal consciousness? How do you think they define it? As an enemy? As something to be ignored? As an adversary? They are satanic? How do you think that they view it?
What happened, I believe, years ago is they had a God king who had all this power, and then he didn't want to die. And so he tried to preserve his knowledge through generation after generation, through heavy family tradition. And the idea, ultimate idea, is to really become God. And so they want to become God. They want to link all human minds into one single mind, plug them all in, and then create God out of nothing. And their belief is that, you know, they've done all this killing and stuff, and God hasn't shown up, so they can do whatever the hell they want. And the only thing that would stop them would be the actual appearance of a real God. And I'm saying that has happened. These people better take a look at the event horizon. If they're half as smart as I think they are, they will see something that they do not comprehend, that is bigger than their ability to really, truly grasp. And I'm trying to say, look, you know, the tsunami is coming. You better do something. Well, there's no time for us fighting. Their whole thinking is just so backwards. And the other thing is they're scared. They're very scared because they see their end is coming. They don't know what to do about it. The rise of China, the rise of India, all these people out of their control. They don't like the idea of losing control. They're scared. And they're racist. They don't like the idea of other races controlling the planet. They think they are the chosen special super elite, and it is their destiny to rule the whole world as a giant farm. And that's not going to happen. It's already too late. There's nothing they can do about it. They can try some to initiate World War III in Iran and whatever. They need fear. They need war. That's the only thing they have working for them. And right now we're headed into an era where we don't need war. We need peace. The whole planet wants peace. And the only reason we have war is because of them. And so The whole planet is about to say, okay, enough already. It's finished. And it's going to be, you know, theoretically, all people have to do is say, okay, stop. And it's going to happen. There's no way these people are going to succeed. They may have, you know, somehow brainwashed the American people and fooled them, but they know the American people are angry. They don't know what they're angry at most of them. They know there's something wrong. And I would suggest to the American people, too, that the best way to fight these people is not through armed militias and stuff, because that plays right into their hand. They're violence specialists. But a strike, a general strike, tax boycott, passive resistance, learn from Gandhi. You can beat them just by disobeying them. Just that's all you have to do. Then they're powerless. But if you fight them, then you play into their hands, you give them excuses to whip your ass. It'll be like a peasant rebellion with pitchforks against mercenaries armed with steel.
Well, they'd love to turn Blackwater and other hired mercenaries and what's left of the American military, which will soon be a polyglot of people from around the world, turn them loose on the American public. You know, you're quite right.
That's the reason I didn't want the Chinese to attack, because I didn't want to give these people an excuse to crack down and have their martial law.
Right.
So,
two of the top Chinese military generals in the last 3 years have said quite clearly, unequivocally, that the Chinese military is planning to fight and to win a thermonuclear war with the United States. They're not playing games. They are doing their underground homework. They're building facilities. So are the Russians. Of course, we have nothing here in the United States at all to take care of the populace. Meanwhile, the evil elite are building their underground hideaways, expecting that if they do trigger World War III, they'll be able to climb out in 6 months and set up the game all over again. That's of course, how they think. Hold on. I'll be right back with Benjamin Fulford in just a couple of minutes, live from Tokyo, part two of our exclusive conversation for you tonight. And we shall continue right after this. Get right back to Ben Fulford. Okay, Ben, so we've got the satanic elite preparing to survive Armageddon, or whatever they want to call it. They have millions of American Christian fundamentalist Zionist kooks who are pushing for it. They want it to happen. They think they're going to crawl out of the shadows after the nuclear residue has diminished enough and set up their game all over again. And as you've said, and if it is true that they happen to hit Japan with a couple of earthquakes right at that particular location as a response to your earlier visit on the program, there is no end of what they could do to China. Now, this goes back again to what I was mentioning before the break, and that is that two senior, and I mean at the top, Chinese military men, officers, generals, have said they are preparing to fight and win a thermonuclear war with America. Chinese agents, of course, and business interests have spread all around the world. They are penetrating South America as we speak. Africa, they are working all over the planet to secure more hegemony, power, control, and manipulation. There are over 5,000 companies working around the world, corporations which are actually owned by the People's Liberation Army. They own both ends of the Panama Canal, the world's deepest ocean port in the Bahamas. They are trying to gain footholds with American ports. They are setting up ports in Mexico in anticipation of the North American Union so they can ship in their containers. And it was kind of funny. There was a 60-minute story, anyway, a news story about how lax port security is. And they were looking at these containers coming in. And there was no effort at all made by the journalists to point out the fact that U.S. Customs only actually looks at one or two of every 100 containers that come into the United States. The story was about some radioactive detection machine, which only works 50% of the time. So they're obviously looking in the wrong places again. There is no security in this country. And is China preparing to fight a thermonuclear war? Ben Fulford, and beyond that, what about Taiwan? Go ahead.
Okay, you know, the Chinese have never had a tradition of conquering other peoples. We go back thousands of years. They concluded years ago that they were the biggest country and so people could come to them. And I don't think they have any sinister goals. I really don't. I used to think that. But I honestly believe they want to, for example, make the people of Africa rich so that they can become good customers and everybody benefits. I don't see them as having any sinister plans. So,
well, they don't need to have any, excuse me, but vis-a-vis sub-Saharan Africa, HIV/AIDS and now XDR-TB is going to take most of the population out of the equation, but okay, go ahead.
I mean, they're offering to eliminate malaria from Africa, for example.
Well, they should try and offer to eliminate AIDS, which is man-made, and XDR-TB, which appears to be a man-made or potentially so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these efforts to kill the population by the elite are just not going to work. They're going against nature. And what's really happening is the flow of nature is moving in the positive direction overall. Now, for example, you know, the societies in Asia realized that war is not the way to move forward. For example, the Japanese in the 1600s had more cannons than all of Europe combined. And at some point they said, why do we have all these guns aimed at each other? And they decided, no, let's not do that. And they had 250 years of peace until Admiral Perry showed up. The Ming Dynasty was like that, too. You know, why is all this war? Let us just enjoy life and be prosperous. And I don't think these people have any hostile intent. However, when you have the American elite, the Western elite, with a long-term plan to reduce China's population to, you know, less than half, and then to use a war with Taiwan as a pretext to invade and divide them into six countries, well, they're going to, you know, they're scared, okay? They don't want this to happen. And they're saying, if you do that, we'll crush you. We're not going to let you get away with this. And it's too late. They cannot, you know. And China is going to, you know, what they're doing, what the Western elite are doing, is they're destroying the West. They're going to make the West a backwards, and China is going to be the center of civilization if they keep repressing technology and brainwashing people and everything and trying to keep the world addicted to oil. That's going to destroy the West. They're destroying their own backyard, you know, and it is so insanely stupid. I can't believe these people.
Well, people have asked that for years. I've raised that question. It's almost the unanswerable question. Why are they killing the goose that is laying the golden eggs for them? Why are they destroying the planet's environment, its biosphere, its ecosystem? Why are they doing that? Are they that arrogant? Are they that stupid? Are they drunk with power? Are they drunk with lust? What is it?
You know, they're basically gangsters, and they're not capable of running the planet.
They're in over their head. For sure, yeah.
And more to the point, you know, it's been one man, basically, David Rockefeller, acting as if he were God. And this planet is too big for one mind to control. Look, we learned that with Hitler and Stalin and Mao.
Are you suggesting that David Rockefeller is a bigger big shot than the Rothschilds in London? Or are they just on other sides of the planet and pretty much equals?
Well, my understanding is, you know, David Rockefeller has always been the big kahuna, you know, since the World War II. However, I do believe there's a split with the Rothschilds now. I mean, I don't know all the details, but there's certainly been a schism. All that stuff with the Freedom Fries, just look at who invaded Iraq and who didn't. And you'll see that France and Germany didn't. So there's a split in their ranks. I mean, the Rockefellers are on the way out, and that'll be good for everybody. I think the Rothschilds are much higher-level people.
Well, that's a good point, you know. And certainly the British presence in Iraq was marginal. in the south of the country, and some would suggest that there was a deal made to keep their combat losses as low as they were. Okay, back in just a minute with Benjamin Fulford, and we'll begin to take questions shortly. So if you'd like to call in, we have calls waiting now. The number here is 800-259-9231. And again, I'm well aware that many of the stations carrying these programs do so at different times, so hopefully you are on the Internet at least listening in and can call in. Okay, we'll pause and then continue. Tokyo. All right, let's take a call or two now and give you the number again. It's 800-259-9231. All right, Dan in New York, thanks for being patient. You're first up tonight. Welcome to the program. What's your question for Ben?
Hello, Jeff. Hello, Ben. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Well, we know Mao killed an estimated 60 to 70 million people, and the current Chinese government appears to be the model for the New World Order. With their one-child policy and the non-existence of civil rights over there. So my question is, why should we believe then that a Chinese secret society is now going to save us when they've allowed such atrocities in the past?
Okay, you got to remember that the people I'm dealing with are enemies or have been long-term enemies of the actual government in China. It's not the same. This is an anti-establishment group that has a very different value system from the people who actually run the Chinese government. So you got to make that difference, okay? These are anti-government people, and their values are very good. Protect the weak, you know, and fight against injustice. They're not, would be dictators. That's the important point. And their concern is that people are being killed. Innocent, weak people are being killed, and that is something that makes them angry.
Now, I might add that just real quickly interject here that in Ben's first visit, Dan, you can hear quite a history lesson about China. And, in fact, he made this point very clear. So go ahead and listen to that again. It's free up online. But very good question. And I would ask Ben just to interject a question as well here. The Falun Gong movement has represented a very great threat to the Chinese communist dictators. And they have cracked down on them very hard. Do your friends have any formal position or informal position about Falun Gong and so forth?
I haven't heard any talk about the Falun Gong. Their own policy would be just let them be if they're not, doing anything wrong.
Okay, very good. That's good enough. All right, Dan, go ahead.
No, that was really my only question. I also just wanted to throw it out there that, you know, we put David Rockefeller up on such a high pedestal, but here in New York City, our group, We Are Change, actually confronted David Rockefeller about being indicted by a citizen's grand jury for the crimes in 9/11. So it was just interesting to show people that, you know, these people are reachable, you know, these people are confrontable, and that's what we try to do here is just
that's,
to get out.
That's your group, Dan?
Yeah. We.
Very good. Congratulations. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. One thing I want to also add about the difference between the Chinese Politburo and the U.S. secret government is, okay, the Chinese Politburo, at least you can see them, right? And you know they're there, and you know that they're dictators, okay? In the U.S., they stay hidden, and they keep everyone fooled with this show that you think of as democracy, but which has been sabotaged entirely. Right?
That's so, a good point. You're right.
You know, at least these guys aren't lying about what's going on, and they're not trying to fool people. They're there on TV every day, and you can know that they're in charge. And the other thing is they are trying to use, like, real-time public opinion on the Internet to create a new form of democracy. I don't think they want to be a real total dictatorship because they know that they'll be doomed if they don't listen to the people. I mean, that's my take on them. I don't think they're as bad as their predecessors, the new generation. Although, you know, they leave a lot to be desired, for sure. I mean, but it's always easier to talk about problems in a society outside your own. In your own society, it's squashed and hidden, and you cannot talk about it. So the Chinese can talk about things and see things about the United States that the Americans aren't allowed to know or talk about, and vice versa. So a lot of the stuff they talk about, you know, vis-a-vis China, could be said vis-a-vis the U.S. One good example is when World War II, the Japanese military had this guy called Kodama Yoshio, and he created these gangs of bandits who attack villages, rape and kill. And then after he attacked, the Japanese army would show up and say, hey, we can protect you from those bandits, so why don't you come under our protection? And that's what the U.S. is doing in Afghanistan and Iraq, too. I mean, Al-Qaeda, as far as I'm concerned, is how Rockefeller died. I mean, that's the U.S. government-sponsored bandits and terrorists who then give them the excuse to send in their military.
It's wearing a little thin, too, that scam. You're quite right. It's a joke. Al-Qaeda is nothing less than a CIA prop put up by the big money people as a diversion.
Yeah.
Okay, Dan, thank you. Thank you. Keep up the good work, Dan. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you, Jeff. Take care. Good night, Ben.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Okay, in Arizona, someone called Pravda is on the line. We know that, of course, meaning truth in Russian. Are you there?
Oh, yes. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Hello, Benjamin. I know that you mentioned a plan B. How long will they wait before striking the elite, say if Rockefeller decides to ignore you and doesn't want to meet with you, how long before they will strike? And then I have one other question, if you don't mind.
Okay, not a problem.
Uh-huh.
So how long, Ben?
Oh, well, okay. Now, there's a couple things I have to mention. One is that I've got a plan B, which is my idea, and I'll try that first. But if it comes to something actually violent, then they are the professionals. They've been doing this for 500 years, and I won't know what they're going to do. But they did tell me to say that it would be unpredictable and be far worse than expected. So I wouldn't call that plan B yet. I'm trying to minimize death here. So there'll be an escalation, you know, but ultimately, they're outnumbered 600 to 1, and the 600 can know exactly who the 1 is. The 1 don't know who the 600 is. So it's really, they should know, if they're at least half smart, that we've got them, that their destiny is in our hands. And I wish they would just wake up to the fact that I'm trying to save their lives. And I am the moderate. I'm the sort of the peaceful, you know, guy. I want this to be done without bloodshed. But
I agree with you.
Yes.
That's a very good and definite goal that we all would like to see. The other thing is, are we the human shields in a war between them and, like, possibly the real God, or are these elite and the Rockefellers, are they even human? One would even wonder. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, they think of themselves as being superhuman, and they can travel into other dimensions or whatever, which just means that they got vivid imaginations, you know. But obviously, the Chinese know the difference between the gangsters who are oppressing the American people and the American people, and they're not going to go after innocent Americans. I guarantee you that. There's no point. You know, there's a pyramid, and there's all these slaves building the pyramid, and there's an eye on top. You target the eye, don't worry with the pyramid. But I don't know what they're going to do. They're in charge of tactics. But it's 1.8 million professional gangsters and 100,000 professional assassins. Let them think about that. That's real. They've been able to confirm this by now.
All right. Hold on. I'll be right back in just a couple minutes as we continue conversation part two with Benjamin Fulford. professional journalist for so many years, I'm sure you probably have an interest in the explosion of nanotechnology, genetic engineering, genetic manipulation. We've talked briefly about that before. I've been following it from the beginning and realizing, as I'm sure that many of you listening out there do, this is not only the represents the keys to the kingdom, but it could open Pandora's box and probably will before it opens the door to salvation for humankind. Unfortunately, everything is perceived in terms of military defense, which is really offense, control, and subjugation. And then it trickles down to the consuming public and the medical communities, which, of course, will get filthy rich on whatever they do decide to come up with. But in the hands of evil, in the hands of the satanic society on the planet, these evil Zionists, Satanists, whatever you want to label them, it doesn't matter, the controllers. And you point out that in 20 years, everything's going to be different. I would submit that if we make it to 20 years in the largely intact condition we are now, it may not, we may look back in 20 years and say, well, gee, it only took 10. I think they're way ahead of us. I think these changes could be, in fact, being implemented right now, and I have evidence to suggest that, in fact, it is being implemented right now. So I think your points are very important, and we might want to talk just a little bit more about that.
Yeah, well, what's happening is, if the human race, right, were able to be in charge of itself instead of being controlled in secret by these gangsters, they would first think, okay, everybody would say, well, you know, I don't want to die. You know, maybe there's heaven, but if I could have eternal life on this earth, maybe I would at least choose to live longer if I could be healthy. And so instead of investing all these hundreds of billions of dollars in new ways of killing people, they would have a crash program to find out how to stop mortality. And then, of course, they would be, the people would want to end poverty. They want to end ignorance. They want to end environmental destruction. I believe all of this could be accomplished in 3 or 4 years. All the human race would have to do is redirect its energies in the way that the people want, not in the way that some self-appointed shepherds want. So, yeah, I mean, the potential is so big that it just, it is mind-boggling. I mean, it would be really like end of times or beginning of times. I mean, imagine if you could have immortality and then you could become like super smart, super strong. You could have, you know, your own private airplane. I mean, this is all available if these paranoid warmongers were not in charge.
Well, these paranoid warmongers want people to get sick and die. That's what's going on now. They want them to suffer and die, and they want to get rich in the process. Otherwise, we would have full access to all sorts of alternative health commodities, herbal supplements, which are now under attack in this country. I don't know what it's like there, but as you probably know, it's big-time war on alternative health in America. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're trying to make people stupid. I mean, they ban all sorts of things. Like all the cannabinoids, for example, were banned.
One of the greatest plants on the surface of the earth is the cannabis plant, hemp.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting story. I used to, years ago, I talked to people who picked magic mushrooms in Canada.
Yeah.
And they said the cows would guard the mushrooms. Okay.
Oh. Wow.
Now, so what happened is, you know, the mushrooms needed to get inside the cow poop, right? So the dung. So they would give the cows an incentive. They'd offer them brain candy. And there was a co-evolution between the mushroom and the cow. They needed each other, right? And the same thing has happened with the hemp plant and the human being. They found 20,000-year-old hemp plants in archaeological digs in Japan.
Uh-huh.
So people have been selecting stuff that makes them feel better, smarter, whatever, more successful for that many years. And that's why they had to ban this plant, because people are hard to control and herd and sheep when they use that.
Well, and so they install fluoride, aspartame, mass mind manipulation and control through the television and all the rest of it. Exactly. All right, let's go ahead.
Yeah, but in any case, I mean, if these people stand aside, then it's going to be really like a golden age. I mean, everyone will be rich and everyone will be happy. It's just amazing.
When you say rich, you mean what you're meaning is that people will have what they need.
Yeah,
richness for many people.
There won't be people who are suffering because their money's being taken by someone they can't.
There you
everyone
go.
Will have enough. They don't have. There's no need for too much, but everyone will have enough. You know, like I say, right away there'd be like it'd be possible to give $100,000 to each man, woman, and, you know, in the United States. And the other thing is that if you had real live, real time democracy, okay, and the people in charge of making money, you know, through some communications on the internet or something, it would be like humanity's collective IQ just got 100 times higher. You know, it would be an amazing thing. The whole system that they have is not working. It's ceased to function. And these poor people, they spent all their years making their money on war. And so they need war. And but the world does not need war. The era of war is over.
It's their game. It's the only game they know, and they know it very well.
Well, we've got to find them something new to do. You've got to let, you know, like all these generals in the Pentagon, as soon as they retire, they say war is a bad thing. But while they're there, that's where they're getting their salary, so they cannot say that. So these people have to have something else to do. You've got to protect the Pentagon. You've got to give them a new mission. And I've always argued their mission should be to save the planet and explore the universe. Instead of figuring out ways to kill Iraqis, you know, and steal oil. And they could do it. They could, for example, modernize Africa in 5 years. There's so many things they could do. So they don't have to worry about losing their, you know, lucrative rackets. They can do it and be good for the planet at the same time. This is what I'm trying to tell these people. There's no need to be scared of peace.
There's a good line to take another call on. There is no reason to be scared of peace. Joan in Arizona. Hi, John. You're on the air, John. Is John still there? Hi, John.
Hello?
I hear someone. Are you there, Joan? Okay, John. Joan is not there. John is in Canada. Are you there, John?
I'm here.
Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Ben. Two questions. First one is, when it comes to the depopulation thing, one thing that I've known with all the research I've done, that idea, as far as I know, isn't just a Rockefeller thing. It's many families have seemed to have that same idea. That's number one. I just wanted to get your comment on that. And the second one is the recent import issues that we've been having in North America, if there was any link with some of the stuff that's been...
Okay, that's the tainted Chinese food and commodities issue. All right, first up, Ben, yeah. And I know the answer. Certainly, Ben does not think the Rockefellers are the only evil on the planet. He just concentrates on them because he's an ex-Canadian, and that's the nearest issue in terms of dealing with the Chinese secret society, because the Rockefellers are the ones who are probing and pushing from Japan.
Yeah, the Rockefellers really are at the top of this particular pyramid. They are the eye, okay? That's what you got to remember. There's below them, there's all sorts of people who want to be the eye, but right now they're the eye, so you got to concentrate on them because that could change everything. But as far as the depopulation is concerned, you see, these people do not know how to deal with other cultures. They do not know. They think that, you know, there's a problem of third world farmers burning down forests so they can feed their families and destroying all the nature on the planet, right? So they think we've got to purge these people. But that's not the answer. The answer is to make these people prosper so they don't have to slash down forests. In other words, poverty is the real environmental problem. So these people think all these poor people are the environmental problem, so we've got to get rid of the poor people. That's not the answer. The answer is you make them rich and there won't be an environmental problem. And so they got it all ass backwards. And they just don't know what they're doing because they are run at the very top by some incompetence. There's so many, it would be so easy to stop all these problems. They think always, the only solution is to purge the world of these devouring human ants. And they're wrong. They're dead wrong. But yeah, all sorts of people have been saying this. And they also think that it should be the inferior races that should go. And, of course, that is nonsense. That's pure nonsense. The differences are cultural, not racial. And that's something that's very thoroughly scientifically proven for now.
Your point about them wanting the inferior races to go is adequately and certainly very clearly pointed out when one studies the origins of HIV, AIDS, and what it has done to sub-Saharan Africa and what it is doing down there. 75% of the people of reproductive age in many of the countries in sub-Saharan Africa have AIDS. They're going to die. And when they contract this new form of tuberculosis called XDR-TB-SA1, they are literally dead in 8 to 14 days. So apparently AIDS isn't working fast enough. We know the AIDS medicines are largely a joke and a scam as well. So, yeah, the disrespect for the so-called inferior peoples of the planet is quite blatant when you look at the Satanists and the evil elite, no doubt about it. We just have about a minute before the break, then we'll come back and ask you the second part of John's question, but go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, no, the thing is that I have seen a family that my parents have known for years. They started out as peasants in Mexico, and they lived in a slum, and now they're all doctors and dentists. And this took just 2-3 generations. That can be done with anybody on Earth. Mm-hmm. Anybody on the planet can be turned into a doctor or a dentist or whatever. It's a matter of, you know, providing them the tools they need.
It's also a discipline, drive. It's a cultural thing as well. I know that when the Vietnamese were being expelled or escaping from Vietnam, they came over here by the hundreds of thousands, and 95% of them were completely off all forms of assistance and welfare within 12 months. Many of them went on to become highly paid and respected professionals. As you point out, they were Asian in origin. They had a different discipline. In fact, the University of California had to put a limit on the number of Asian students accepted because they were actually taking over the dominant role in the percentage of students on campus. They're that competent. They have parties where they study together. That's what they do. So it's a matter of discipline, cultural ethics, and values. Okay, very good. Stand by, Ben, and John in Canada will come back and find out what Ben has to say about the flood, and this is what we know about so far, of tainted Chinese human food, pet food, kids' toys, clothing, even flip-flops, the rubber sandals. I hope you've seen the story at Rents.com about that. Some guy went into a Walmart, bought himself some little rubber thongs for his feet. Take a look and see what happened to him.
Cool.
It's unreal. Be right back in just a few minutes. Okay, and we're back. Our second exclusive conversation with journalist Benjamin Fulford from Japan tonight. It'll be in the archives, of course. I'm also going to make it available free for everyone to listen to at Rents.com. We'll have it up as soon after the program as we can. So what about this deluge, and this is what we know about so far, Ben, of tainted Chinese products. Now, we're talking about pet food, human food, kids' toys, even sandals, as I said. Lots of things, and the Chinese are not happy about it.
Well, you know, I talked to a Chinese government official about this, and he said about the pet food, right, was that it was inspected when it left China. They always inspect stuff they export to the U.S.
Well, they check it for protein content, but the melamine apparently has an ability to jack up the protein readings, so maybe they did inspect it, but that's as far as they went.
Well, anyway, their version, I don't know if they're right, is that something happened in Panama, and something was put into it in Panama.
Could have been cut,
so
like they do.
So they think it was sabotage. They think there was someone out there to smear the Chinese by sabotaging their product.
Or make a buck by simply stepping on it, as they say, and cutting it with something else. Possible.
Right. I mean, and so I think that there may be something to that. At the same time, though, I mean, China has a long history of making rip-off copies, and they've been doing that since the times of the emperors when they, you know, people making fake official ceramics.
They were making fake Jordache jeans and Levi's back then, were they? I see.
Sure. I mean, so there is a problem with uncontrolled Wild West capitalism in China, and they're aware of it, and they, you know, they've been executed people who've been, you know, letting this stuff happen. So they are cracking down. They do have problems, but I do believe they also have a case to, you know, make that there is some deliberate sabotage going on. Some of the stuff looks suspicious. Like it wasn't the Chinese, but somebody out to smear the Chinese. And I have heard of a plan to create a financial crisis in China.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese are aware of it, and they're not going to let it happen.
Are they backing themselves with their dollar holdings and American assets against such a crisis, a contrived manipulation to try to take them down economically?
Well, what happened with the dollar holdings is that last year they called, you know, Paulson from the Treasury Department and Bernanke from the Fed over to Japan, or to China, saying, you know, we don't want to talk with your puppets. We want to talk with your real government. And they said to them, those dollars you're giving us are worse than opium. Opium at least gave us pleasure. You know, they forced them to buy opium in the opium wars, right?
Yeah.
And they're saying, you know, we try to buy companies, and they say, you can't buy companies. The only thing you'll let us do is finance the military. Well, we're not going to do that anymore. And instead, we're going to take this money, and we're going to make the poor people of the world better off. And we're going to sell our dollars. And the Americans, apparently, they left the meeting, like, blue in the face and tears in their eyes. And then OPEC called up and told the Chinese that if you don't keep those dollars, we're not going to sell you oil. So there was some big fight between the secret U.S. government and the Chinese late last year. And the Chinese have been moving heavily into Africa. They're trying to develop all the world. They're making all the poor people rich. But they have to keep some of those dollars. However, you know, it's only a matter of time. I think the era of oil is coming to an end, and that's why they're jacking up the prices. It's like they're trying to squeeze as much as they can out before the door shuts, you know, and the whole oil thing comes to an end. The 20th century will be known as the hellish century of that black poison known as oil. And it'll be an electric age coming up. It'll be much nicer, cleaner, everything better.
Well, if Tesla had been allowed to do what he wanted to do with your great-grandfather, we'd be there now.
Well, the Chinese are—they're starting. You know, they're working on it. I mean, and the Japanese have the technology that's been suppressed by the Americans. I've had senior Japanese government officials tell me all this technology they have that's been suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
They say we'll bomb you and we'll kill you if you start providing people with free energy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where these people are coming from. It's ridiculous. There's no way to run a planet.
Nope, no arguments here. All right, let's go to Idaho and say hi to Paul. Hello, Paul. Welcome. You there, Paul?
Yes, Mr. Renz.
Yes, sir.
You're the best. I've been listening to you for many years.
Well, thank you, sir, very much. I appreciate that. I try, I tell you that.
Well, they're not enough out there trying. That's the problem. I have a comment to make to Mr. Fulford.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. I think that if you don't get on the Rothschilds, they own all the banks in Europe and probably most of the Federal Reserve. The royals are connected with the royals in England and the Netherlands and so on. The British control the Freemasons, especially above the 33rd degree. There's the Warburgs and the Morgans and the Kissingers and a whole bunch. But the Rothschilds seem to hold most of the money in the world. They control the gold. I mean, the gold market opens with the Rothschilds in London setting the price. So, and that's something that's done a little broader, and I think it's... The only other thing I want to say is I've heard so many nice things said about China, but they haven't been so nice to their workers. I don't know. They admitted to huge numbers of demonstrations where they sent in troops to shoot them down.
I would suggest, Paul, that Benjamin is not here to defend the communist Chinese regime and its oppression of humans and its terrible human rights record. We have one that's just about as bad. But we're talking about a Chinese secret society here, which is antithetical to that.
Yeah. And you got to, about the Rothschilds. Now, I'm aware they control Europe, and I'm aware they have huge control, but they're planning, you know, to expand the EU. They want a world government based on the EU, right? With them in secret control.
Well, and I guess they control the United Nations pretty much, too. and they've been very much pro-eugenics.
Yeah.
Which was an American creation, by the way. We want to export it to Germany, and yeah. But yes.
Yeah, I know that.
Yes.
You sound very well informed, Paul.
I'm also involved with the Japanese Freemasons, okay? And they have told me they don't want to cut their relations with the Rothschilds, right? And they're more interested in doing the Rockefellers. So if I can combine the Japanese with the Chinese and then get all the Russians and stuff, I think that we can start with the Rockefellers, get them to stop their crazy warmongering, and then I believe the Rothschilds can be negotiated with to something that, you know, a regime change that will allow them to operate not in secret but in the open, something like that. But in any case, my understanding is we've got to start with the people who want to carry out this radical genocide, and that's the highest priority. So we'll deal with the Rothschilds later. I mean, that's where I'm coming from. And also I have the wishes of the Japanese Freemasons as well as the Chinese Secret Society to deal with, which is why I take that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think, you know, despite the eugenics and all that sort of nasty racist stuff, the Rothschilds are a slightly more intelligent, sophisticated bunch, and I believe that they can be talked with. But we'll see. If not, then things will change.
You know, I think they'll pull the wool over your eyes and say yes, but one of the big things they're doing now is pushing Gaia as a new world religion. And basically what they do is take control of all the natural resources under the auspices of protecting society. But in the meantime, a few big corporations they control the water, the seeds, production, everything. Every last puddle in the world.
They're building 500 nuclear power plants in China, and I don't know if they're later going to hit them with the earthquake machine or something, but, you know, they're not... Look, these people have to realize that their era of controlling the world is coming to an end. They're going to have to share it with the people of the planet, and it'll have to be a smooth transition, you know, otherwise it's going to be a violent one, and I don't want that, because they're going to be the losers.
Listen, I don't want to hog all your time, but
sure.
I just wanted to... I've studied these kind of issues a long time, and this is a deep well to fish in, and it's not just... I don't think it's just one little...
That's a very excellent description. It is a deep, dark well, and you're right, and I think all of us know that, basically.
Sure. I mean, and you got to use the process like judo. You got to use their strength against them. You know, I appreciate email contact. If you have more details or information, I should know. But, you know, my information comes straight from very senior people in the Japanese government and then these Chinese folks. And I have to kind of represent their interests, and it's not just my own opinion, right? So what they're saying is right now we just want the Rockefellers to stop their insanity. And they say that these are the people who are the source of the biggest problem.
Very good. Thank you very much, Paul, and keep up your research. I appreciate that. Okay. We're going to pause, and we'll come right back with Benjamin Fulford, who again made the point in his first visit, and it's rather obvious that SARS is the odds-on candidate to have been the latest, most recent biological warfare effort, which is ethno-specific, i.e. Asian. No doubt. It didn't work for a variety of reasons. The earthquake is another big issue. There's a lot on the table here. It is a very deep well. Be right back in just a couple minutes.
Deciding what humanity will do in the future. And about 65% of the world's excess money, or the, you know, or loose, or is in Asia, which means that the Asians now actually have the power to decide what will happen to the future of this planet. Now, they haven't been exercising that power yet, but it is just a matter of time. And that scares a lot of the people in the West who've been used to controlling things for years, and they're not sure what to do about the situation. But the Chinese do not want the American people to become poor because they'll lose their best customers, and they don't want, you know, to cause turmoil. At the same time, though, they don't like being made fools of and being ripped off, and they don't want to, you know, have all these hard-working Chinese supporting the U.S. military machine, which will then be used against China.
Got it.
So something is happening. And there's been a fundamental change.
Mm-hmm.
The rule of the West is coming to an end. It's going to be the rule of the people of the planet, not just one ethnic group. I mean, that's what's happening. If you look at the U.N., you know, permanent council members, 4 out of 5 are Europeans, and Europeans are only 17% of the world population. So
correct.
It's apartheid, global apartheid. And so the rest of the planet is saying, okay, you guys, under these moronic, you know, Bush regime, have totally messed things up, and you've disqualified yourselves from ruling the planet, and we've got to change the way this planet is run. That's what the entire planet is coming to realize. Everyone's saying, we don't want you creating artificial wars anymore. We don't want you carrying out genocide. You know, this is not the way we want this planet to run. And they've got to realize that their gig is up. It's over. It's finished. They just have to manage a smooth transition. You know, it's a game over. They just haven't realized it yet, or they don't want to. There's
we'll see. You've given them 48 hours to meet with you at the Fulford Estate in Canada.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out if there's a contact made in 48 hours. 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231 is our number here. In Texas, I think Mike is on the line. Are you there, Mike Holding?
Yes, good evening, Jeff. Thank you for taking my call, sir.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Before we get started, is it correct that you used to work for the corporate media?
Well, I did, yes. Are you who are you talking to? Both?
Yeah, Jeff. Yeah, that's
Yeah, I was under contract to the Premier Radio Networks. Yes, for 5 years.
So you realize the game that how the corporate media and all that was.
Oh yeah.
Okay, now getting on to the things, Ben. Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah. Yep.
You talk about great things happening. I want to talk to you about what's happening to the south of the United States right now. And a few years ago, I visited Brazil and Argentina, and I tell you what. There's something quietly happening, and it's a very good change. The Brazilian people, the people from Argentina and Chile, are really turning progressive compared to what they were in the past dictatorships. Did you know about that?
Yeah, I know. I know. They're on to this whole Yankee game. You know, have been for a long time. You know, they were the original victims of these people.
Well, Ben, and here's a little aside that will help make the point. I talked to a Brazilian once, and he laughed. He said one of the biggest jokes among Brazilians in the know is that they don't own their own country. It's owned by the Rockefellers and Rothschilds and the globalist World Bank.
Right, and they're getting fed up down there. I mean, and I talked to a couple of Brazilians, and you know they don't want to see their environment destroyed. It's these transnational global corporations that
correct.
Are doing
right.
doing most of the deforestation in the Amazon. Most people don't realize that.
Yeah, look, it's not just the South Americans. If you really come down to it, we reach a situation where you just need a slight spark, and you'll find that the Africans, the South Americans, the Muslims, the people in India and China and Japan, Russia, everywhere are saying, hey, you guys, enough is enough. You know, we're tired of what you're doing to this planet. And it's just a matter of everybody just saying, okay, stop. And it's coming. It's coming.
Yeah. Do you think, in your opinion, sir, that the U.S. military will do the stupidest thing and attack Iran? In your opinion, do you think that's going to happen?
Well, you know, I hope they learn from the German military. You know, they one by one, they let Hitler fire generals until suddenly they all had to do exactly what Hitler said.
Right.
Hitler was wildly popular in his time before the war started. Now, by contrast, the Bush regime is wildly unpopular, and if they let them fire generals one by one until they get a bunch of yes-men, then they'll go down in history books as great idiots and villains. And I believe that they're smart enough and honorable enough to know that their first loyalty it's the American people and to the Constitution.
Well, let's hope so. You know, you made a very good point, and a lot of people continue to try to equate the current status and configuration of the United States geopolitically with Germany in the 1930s, and there really is no comparison at all to be made that I can see. It's absurd. It's the opposite in many ways. There are a few overt parallels, but Germany under the Treaty of Versailles was a nation in pillory, being punished continually. It was a whole different situation. Anyway, if you'd like
do you think they're going to attack Iran? In your opinion,
Do I think they will be ordered to attack Iran by the globalists, by the 17% of the planet, the Europeans, where these power centers, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, are located? Do I think that's going to happen? It looks like 50-50 at this point. We will see. All right, stand by. You're welcome to another question, Mike, if you'd like. After the break, we have to pause for just a few minutes, and we'll be back with Benjamin Fulford. Okay, right back with all of you, and Mike in Texas. One more question, Mike, if you have one.
Sure, and thanks for letting me hold over the break. I appreciate that. Other question is, in this new era of peace, Ben, do you think we're going to continue to see more improvements in curing diseases and medicine and health care? And finally, the Japanese, it seems like there's no poverty over there almost because the workers and the corporate leaders, the gap is not as big. Go ahead and answer those two questions.
Sure. I mean, I think that most disease can be eliminated. The international medicine companies need disease in order to make profit.
Right.
The traditional Asian system was that if the patient was sick, then the doctor stopped getting money. So they had an incentive to make sure nobody ever got
sick.
That's
fascinating. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. So, you know, you change the way the financial system is rigged, you can give the incentives for the corporations to eliminate disease, it'll be gone in no time.
We have the ability to cure most disease, to prevent most disease right now.
Yeah, so it's just a poor system that makes, you know, gives incentive to create disease to the companies, and that's obviously got to change. Now, the Japanese, the gap between the lowest employee and the chairman in income was something like 20 times for years, and in the U.S. it's like 400 times. But the Americans have been trying to force the Japanese government to put in policies that will create huge income gaps, and they have. Young people are finding it hard to get lifetime employment. They're forced into low-pay, dead-end jobs, and they're very unhappy. There's a huge sort of disaffected youth movement here because they've been offered just junk jobs, and that's because of the Americans twisting the Japanese arm, and the Japanese don't like it. You know, they had a system that worked, and they had a system where everybody was middle class, and the Americans are trying to destroy it, and that's not going to be allowed to continue, you know.
I'm very optimistic about that. Gentlemen, y'all have a good night, and thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Okay, still time for some of you to get in here on the phones if you'd like to talk to Benjamin Fulford. 800-259-9231. Taiwan.
Yeah,
those 17% of the planet, the Europeans that are controlling much of what goes on in the world, what are they going to do about stopping China from turning Taiwan into Hong Kong, too, if they want to?
Well, they can't. I mean, I think that ultimately their big plan was to get the Japanese military and the U.S. military and the NATO military all in tune and then pick a fight over Taiwan, force a referendum in Taiwan, and then pick a fight with China. and crush China, but that's not going to happen. And, you know, the Taiwanese do not want to be under the communist rule. They really do not want that. But I do believe that there can be a compromise where they can live as they've always lived and just change flags. But, you know, this is not something. I don't think the Chinese are going to be so stupid as to let them be provoked into a war. And if they are, it'll be on their terms. I mean, they can already sink U.S. aircraft carriers. Those things are giant white elephants.
They're incredible. They're floating iron graveyards. And by the way, they're full of nuclear bombs and radiation, too. Yeah, they're amazing. They're obsolete. You're right. They can be taken out with hypersonic cruise missiles. People who study military armaments know it.
Yeah, and then the Americans are so reliant on their satellites, and those can be punched out if a Chinese pointer out there with a missile.
Blinded, and they've already apparently done so. The Chinese have developed weapon systems to do that, and yes.
The Russians have these systems, so
sure.
The U.S. military is really a paper tiger. They don't realize it. And the other thing is, I mean, look what happened just a little country like Iraq. How the hell are they going to invade China? Or India or something. They cannot.
Well, no chance. Not going to happen. They're not going to run an aircraft carrier, a super carrier group in between Taiwan, run them down the Straits of Taiwan and or wherever, and stop China from literally devouring Taiwan in days. It just won't happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, their whole scheme is falling apart, and they're afraid. These Europeans are afraid, okay? They think, okay, well, we are competent. We know how to manage an economy, and if we have all these strange colored peoples running the planet, it's all going to go to ruin. It's sort of like the white people in South Africa thinking, if we let Mandela in charge, everything is going to go to hell, you know? It's wrong-headed thinking. That's not how it works. And they have their little gatherings, right? But I mean, look at Bilderberg, you know? They consider themselves as the secret government. They won't even let any Japanese in there or anybody that's not European. They're shooting themselves in the foot with their
It's a private European club, you're right. That's another excellent observation. So the Chinese and what about the Indians? 1.1 billion people. They're not...
The Indians, they're Indian newspapers. They don't refer to the U.S. government. They call the ruling families. You know, they know the truth. And they were controlled by the Rothschilds for 300 years. And Gandhi threw them out. They know what the story is. And they're not going to let themselves be under control again, ever. And they're starting to develop. So, you know, they've got 83% of the planet now saying enough is enough. And the people inside Europe and inside North America, they're sick and tired of this EU propaganda. The Americans, you know, are appalled by their government. It's just an end game situation. We're really like Russia before the collapse of the Iron Curtain. We're on the verge of something really big. This will be a total collapse of an old 300-year-old political order and the beginning of a new one. And these people have a choice between a peaceful transition that will benefit them and a chaotic transition that will leave them all dead, or something in between. And I'm trying to say to them, let's go for the peaceful route. Let's try to make everybody happy if possible. And they have to do that by realizing that they're not God, and they're not the superior people who are destined to rule everybody as slaves. That's not going to happen.
Most Americans do, literally, those who care about the world, have a pretty serious case of tunnel vision. They see America and Europe and everything else is kind of third world in their mind, if they think about it at all. And the point of the issue is that this is the minority when you look at the planet in its totality.
Sure, there's a joke in Asia, right? What do you call somebody who speaks three languages? Trilingual. What do you call someone who speaks two languages? Bilingual. What do you call someone who speaks one language? American. By sticking only to English and only to their own culture, they're getting more and more left behind.
Uh-huh.
The Japanese, the Chinese, they know all about European culture and philosophy and everything. It's, the reverse is not true. Europeans and Americans are ignorant of the world.
Absolutely.
And it'll destroy them. The ignorance will destroy them.
Okay, hold on. Back in just a minute. Yes. Our final segment already tonight with Benjamin Fulford live from Tokyo. And we'll do that in just a couple. All right, let's go up to Montana and say hello to Mike. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Well, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Just a couple things real quick. I want to thank Benjamin for doing the service for what he is doing for our country. We applaud you up here in Montana. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's an honor.
I was wondering if there's any truth to what you have heard or know about. Like, I've heard for years now there's like a million-man Chinese army down in the Mexican border waiting to come across. Do you know anything about that?
No, it's false. I haven't heard nothing like that,
mm-hmm. and I wouldn't believe it. You can't hide a million-man army.
No, it's just not true. It's unfortunately, excuse me, Ben, but Mike, having dealt with the Internet for a long, long time, I'm sure you have too, these kinds of stories pop up from time to time. They're so fantastic, for some reason, intelligent people will grab them. They'll say this, it's too much of a lie. There has to be some truth to it. In this case, there is none.
Okay, wonderful. I'm glad to hear that.
But, you know, some people are also skeptical about whether or not there really is this Chinese secret society. And I have given a phone number to the U.S. intelligence people and stuff. They can confirm it. It's not a false story. These people are real, and they're very, very serious. And they're mostly scholars. So you have these Chinese in every research laboratory in the U.S. You have them controlling Silicon Valley. It's not just gangsters and assassins. They're all very intelligent people. To get into society, you have to be very intelligent or you have to be a gangster. And so if these people do decide to move, there'll be no stopping them. This is not some crazy Internet thing. I mean, I can provide a phone number or a website. You can check it in the history books. And the other thing, some people are skeptical about ninja. Well, ninjutsu is the hardest of all the martial arts. They've been training U.S. Special Forces since the end of World War II. Anybody knows they're real. And there are, you know, about 100,000 U.S. Special Forces have received that training, special martial arts training. So there is a force of, you know, I know it sounds like, you know, you think ninja, Teenage Mutant Turtles or something, but no, these are real people. So anything I've said can be independently verified, and I want to make that clear. You know, I'm not some nutcase. I'm a guy who asked the wrong question. I asked, why doesn't Japan use their money to save the planet? And I was told the answer is that it's because the Rockefellers won't let us, and we'd like you to help us deal with the situation, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, that's just, we totally believe that what you're doing is true. And I do have one other thing. I was wondering if you have heard of any other Homeland Security buildup in any other cities across the country, because we've heard here in Kalispell, Montana, there's like a 300 more Homeland Security people have been coming in. A B-52 bomber flew into our airport. Military helicopters have been flying in.
And you've never seen a B-52 there before?
No.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, these people have hired tons and tons of mercenaries and tons of soldiers and bully boys, okay? They think they got all the bully boys lined up so they can do whatever they want. And the trick to stopping these people is learn from Mahatma Gandhi. Do not fight them. That plays into their hands. Just ignore them. Passive resistance. A general strike is all it would take. So, you know, the Americans have been turned into couch potatoes. Well, fine. They have a couch potato revolution. Stay home and watch TV. Don't go to work. If they come up with a fake terrorist attack again and want to declare martial law, then just declare a general strike. Everybody stay home and watch TV, and that'll be all it takes to flush these people out.
Yeah.
They have all the hard power and have zero soft power. They don't have the hearts and minds, and therefore they're doomed. That's the thing to remember. They look so strong, they look so overwhelming, but people don't believe in them. People won't follow them. So please don't try to fight them. That'll be like peasants with pitchforks against steel armed mercenaries. That plays into their hands. And that's why I'm trying to convince the Chinese to avoid anything that gives these guys an excuse to scale up into a third World War III. That's what they want. Everybody else wants peace. And so it's got to be a peace movement, but a real one, a strong one, one that at the end of the day, if it has to, it will kill. But, you know, first let's talk.
Right.
And also keep in mind. Also keep in mind that Representative Congressman DeFazio is not even being told. And he's supposed to be in oversight over Homeland Security. They won't tell him what their plans are in case of a national emergency and martial law potential. So, yeah, there's a big plans afoot for sure. I can't tell you with any specificity what's going on. Your observations are very important. If you've never seen a B-52 there, one would perhaps ask the airport what it was doing there just for fun and see what they say.
Yeah.
Interesting, for sure.
Yeah, and there's some base near Mount Fuji with all these funky new generation aircraft that look like UFOs, and some secret base there, too, that's been very active recently. They are trying. They're desperate. This is like their last big stunt. And I'm trying to tell them, please don't. It's a mistake. It won't work. And back down before it's too late. You're not... You know, the thing is, they're scared and they're desperate, and so we have to make them a peaceful alternative.
Well, they clearly do feel that the clock is ticking. Mike, thanks very much for your calls.
And thank you very much for your time, and we bless you.
Thank you. Desperation, desperate men, desperate women, desperate people who are satanic in their orientation can do desperate things. It'll be interesting to see. You're the messenger, so we'll find out. 48 hours, you'll see if you get a response. You have given a phone number to an intelligence agency that they can check out and find out about the secrets. One would think they already have a profile on them, if nothing else.
They already checked them out. You know, they sent someone to try to tell lies about me and stuff, so they know I'm telling the truth. But it's not just the Chinese. There's other people now on the move, so... what I'm trying to tell them is whatever they got planned for August, well, talk to me first, and maybe there's a better opportunity, something that will benefit everybody, including them, out there. So before desperate thing and try to trigger this final war, I tell them it's not going to work. People aren't going to fall into their little trap.
One of the saddest things is to watch these Christian Zionists just follow this lead right into oblivion. And they'll be the last to figure it out. Here's a story in the New York Times today, Ben. Bomb by bomb, Japan sheds military restraints. Japan is blurring the line between defensive and offensive military power in spite of its pacifist constitution, rattling nerves in Northeast Asia. True or untrue?
Well, they've been trying to get the Japanese people into a military mode, but they still have an article in the Constitution that forbids them from using the military as an offensive instrument. And public opinion is still 70% against this, but they are trying to get the Japanese Army to work as a subdivision of U.S. Army, and that's not going to happen. They think it's going to happen, but it's not.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and the Japanese military is huge. It's vast. It's maybe one or two or three in the world.
I've heard that, and it's rather a surprise to most Americans. I didn't know it was that large.
Yeah, well, the Germans did that before World War II, too, right? They had lots of officers and lots of weapons and very few troops, so they could, and then it's just a matter of dragging a bunch of men in and giving them basic training. You've got a giant army, and that's what the Japanese can do. So, but the Japanese don't want be involved in war, and they're sick of these racist, elitist people who've been, ripping them off for so long.
I would, too.
Yeah. So things are going to change. We're looking at the fall of the Western Berlin Wall, and it's going to be a wonderful time for everybody. So hang in there. This is just before sunrise. This is my view. It's the darkest hour before sunrise, and everything will be good. And these people, hopefully, they won't carry out their crazy scheme. And
what is it about August, Ben? What is it about August that you may know? I don't expect you to tell me everything.
Well, I don't know anything too special except that, the Congress is going into recession, and the people like Cheney have been going way overboard with their arrogance. And the people in Japan also are talking about something going on in August. And I think it's going to be whatever this secret project they've been working on for so long. So if you see a space alien fleet invading, don't believe it until you see one with your own eyes. It'll probably be computer graphics and then some U.S. secret, military vessels that you'll be seeing, and not an alien invasion.
So you do think, and we talked briefly about this last time, you do think there's a potential that the E.T. Trump card might be the one that is about to be played?
Well, they're up to something big. I mean, there's a lot of activity in that basin around Fuji, and then there's lots of reports of funky flying vehicles. And I remember these people got their original inspiration from War of the Worlds in 1938. But, you know, they weren't ready. They got caught before they were ready. They were planning this, I think, for 2012 or something. I don't think they're going to be able to pull it off. I know they're not. And it would be a horrible mistake for them to try to do this. You know, it's not going to work.
Okay.
So we'll see. Things are going to, hopefully this summer will be the beginning of a new happy time for everybody on the planet. That's what I'm praying for and working for.
My feeling is 2008 is the pivotal year, not 2012. We'll see.
Hopefully that, you know, they will not be able to write the scenario anymore. And the world is tired of them. Every war in the past century, big war has been caused by them.
Well, 17%, as you say, of the world's population, the Europeans, have done it.
Yeah, and they're scared, but they shouldn't be. Yeah, I mean, the rest of the world is dumb or incompetent, they think.
We don't want to forget about what they're trying to do to Russia either, and Russia is fully aware of the fact that the Rothschild cannot be allowed to be back in control of Russia. And that right now is the big issue in Europe.
Yeah. They've lost Russia. They've gone after China. Japan, they've lost. India. They've got South America, Africa, the Muslim countries. Everybody on Earth is saying, we don't want you to do this anymore. So it's really game over. And I'm here to offer them a graceful and honorable transition to something that will benefit them, too. I'm their best hope.
Ben, thanks very much. Thank you for the conversation again. I'll be standing by to find out what happened, so keep me posted if you would. Thank you.
Yeah, I will. Thank you again for inviting me on your show, sir. It's been a great honor.
Good night. Bye. Benjamin Fulford, live from Tokyo. All right, we'll take a break. Come right back in 21 hours tomorrow night. Another outstanding program for you. In the meantime, lots to think about. See you tomorrow.